The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Time now to completely shift gears. We're going to talk some baseball, the College World Series, and always such an honor to visit with former Astros and Seattle Mariners, Charlton Jimerson, who, hey, he was on our show a few months ago as we highlighted his new book. It is titled Against All Odds, A Success Story. But we definitely wanted to invite him back. We wanted to get his thoughts on the College World Series because, you know what? Charlton knows firsthand exactly what it takes to win it all. He played college baseball at the University of Miami, and as a Hurricane, CJ won two national titles. He was named the 2001 College World Series Most Outstanding Player. Always good to hear his voice. Good evening, Charlton. It's nice to have you with us on this Friday night.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Charlton is joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. Well, we definitely wanted to have you back to talk some MLB, but we wanted you also to share with the listeners, you just returned from Omaha and from the College World Series for your book signing. And I just have to wonder, that had to bring back a ton of wonderful memories from your time there and winning two national titles.
Yeah, it was a joy to go back to Omaha and experience the College World Series as a fan. You know, for the many years I was lucky enough to experience the College World Series as a player at the University of Miami, going there three times and winning two national championships, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
We didn't get a chance to experience the College World Series as a fan and get the full experience because we were so focused on winning ball games. But the buzz is always there in June for the College World Series, and they're at a new ballpark at TD Ameritrade Park as opposed to the historic Rosenblatt. But I think the fans definitely enjoy the experience, no doubt, every June.
Charlton, did it have the same feel of the College World Series when you were there? Because you were talking about, I mean, Rosenblatt Stadium, that was the home of the College World Series for over 60 years. I know it's a bit of a distant memory now, but they have this new ballpark. I mean, does it have the same feel?
You know, change is hard for everyone, Alyssa. So I would say that it's different, and rightfully so, it's different. I think there's the positives and negatives to changing venues from Rosenblatt to TD Ameritrade Park. I think that the way that it's centralized in the downtown area around TD Ameritrade Park is better for the fans. I mean, I can't recall bars full of, you know, young adults drinking and enjoying college baseball while the stadium is 2 feet away from them at Rosenblatt. But at the same token, maybe those people were inside the game at Rosenblatt because it was more of a collegiate baseball type of feel where the fans were really close to the players.
Hey, we are so glad you've made it a point to join us this weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. One of our favorites is back, Charlton Jimerson, former Astros, Seattle Mariners outfielder, author. We get to add that now to the list. His new book, it is titled Against All Odds, A Success Story. It is a story of inspiration. You definitely want to go to Amazon.com/Against All Odds and pick up a copy. We are going to zero in on that momentarily. But also, Charlton, we want to celebrate. Of course, he attended the University of Miami. He won two national titles there. And in 2001, as I said in the Open, he was named the College World Series MVP. So let's talk about your team. The high-stakes elimination game, Miami was ousted by their rival, the Gators. How tough was that loss on Wednesday against Florida?
Yeah, it's tough to lose twice to the same team in a two-game elimination tournament, especially losing to, as you mentioned, one of our in-state rivals in the state of Florida with the Florida Gators,
right.
The other one being the Florida State Seminoles. Who the Gators ousted in the Super Regionals to make it to the College World Series. But, you know, Miami faithful are a little down by the fact that we weren't able to go out there and have a better showing in the College World Series, but I think just being back at the College World Series after 7 or so years, I think 2008 was the last time University of Miami baseball was at the College World Series. It was a joy to have them reach the top elite eight teams in the country.
Why do you think Miami has struggled against Florida this year? I mean, they lost to them in 4 out of 5 games against the Gators.
You know, sometimes it's hard to admit it, but sometimes they're just better. You know, nobody wants to go out there and say a team is better than you, but I think after you lose one, you say, okay, we'll get the next one tomorrow, and you lose another one, you say, well, how could we have, you know, changed the outcome of those two games? And then you lose 3 and 4 on college baseball's biggest stage by a large deficit in both games. And, you know, maybe Florida just has their number this year, and I find no shame in admitting that after 4 losses that, you know, maybe the University of Florida Gators baseball team was better this year, and we got to regroup and restructure and figure out a way that we can beat those type of ball clubs going forward.
What kind of changes, Charlton, do you think needs to take place so they can get back to those winning ways against the Gators? Because kind of the forecast going into the College World Series, I mean, the Hurricanes, they were so solid top to bottom and regarded as one of the most talented offensive teams.
Yeah, a lot of people are pointing towards the type of players we're recruiting. Back in the day in classic, you know, Miami years, even before I got there where Miami was prominent presence at the College World Series year after year, along with LSU, the players that were recruited, they really wanted to play at the University of Miami. They bled orange and green. Mm-hmm. They just wanted to be a part of the tradition, and they wanted to continue that tradition. I think some of the alumni are kind of down on the type of player that we're recruiting these days, and a little bit confused if they're there to play at the University of Miami for all the incentives and amenities that it offers, or if they're there to play baseball and really represent the university.
I want to hear about your former coach, Jim Morris. Gosh, he has been there at Miami. He's been at the baseball program for 22 years, won titles in 99 and in 2001. What was your experience like playing for him?
And that's another name that's been coming up a lot, Jim Morris. Obviously, he's been there for years, leading the University of Miami baseball team to 2 national championships, both of which I was a part of. He's been doing this for quite some time, even prior to winning those national championships. He has brought playoff tournament baseball to University of Miami for years. There are some questions about, you know, is he, you know, has he run his tenure? Is he running out of, you know, tricks and trades in order to continue to compete? It is a younger type of athlete. It's a new generation. They got the headphones and they got the, you know, the Beats by Dre and the iPhone.
Oh, yeah, social media.
You know, it's definitely different, right?
Absolutely. Hey, Charlton Jimerson is with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Connect with us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports. And Charlton, reach out to all of our listeners. They'd love to be interactive. They'd love to talk to you, catch up with you. Where can they go on Twitter? And also, where can they go and get a copy of your book?
Definitely. So you can find me on Twitter at TruthAboutMLB. And you can find me on Instagram at CJimerson25. I also have a Facebook page for the book. It's Against All Odds Success Story. After putting in the Facebook.com / Against All Odds Success Story. And, of course, you can go get the book on Amazon. Just put in the search Against All Odds Success Story and purchase it on Amazon.
Well, the reviews have been so strong. Again, it's titled Against All Odds, A Success Story. Reflecting on the College World Series, I mean, is there one particular memory for you, Charlton, that stands out? I mean, what's that one thing that you're going to be able to share with all of your kids? I mean, it is Father's Day weekend. Happy Father's Day to you. But what's that one thing that when you guys are all sitting around talking about Dad and reliving some of those memories, what's that one, that favorite memory that you're going to share with your kids and with your wife?
I think just getting the chance to play and getting that experience as a player. If you read Against All Odds, you'll see in my book, I talk about, you know, attending the College World Series as a freshman, didn't get a chance to play, really didn't expect to play then. But when we went back as in my sophomore year in 99, I was really hopeful and excited to get a chance to play. And we won the national championship, and I never got a chance to get on the field and play in any of the games So when I returned in 01, it was really a joy to be able to go on the field at Rosenblatt Stadium, feel the pressure in the air, and lead off, you know, my College World Series, career with a home run.
Hey, Charlton Jimerson with us at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. We're going to step aside for a quick commercial break. We'll be rejoined. We are going to shine the spotlight on his new book, Against All Odds. And I got a couple more questions that I want to ask him about the College World Series. You stay close. Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell. We'd love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter at eRadioSports. You can always email the show at Elissa@YahooSportsRadio.com. And also, you can check out our podcast page at YSR.com/podcast. Remember to listen to the show on the go. Just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. Very special guest is joining us tonight, Charlton Jimerson, former Astros, Seattle Mariners outfielder, and also attended the University of Miami, won two national titles. In 2001, he was named the College World Series MVP. And let's pick up our conversation. I mean, how did that experience at the College World Series, winning it all, how did that prepare you taking your game to the next level and being a pro?
Funny you ask that, because as I look at the College World Series this year, and, you know, obviously there were some top picks in the Major League draft this year that are on the field at the College World Series. I've always wondered why the draft is before the College World Series is complete. I talk about that in my book. I think that's a disadvantage to not allow the kids to complete their collegiate career without the pressures of the draft overlapping with what they're trying to do in winning a national championship. But obviously you're competing with some of the best players, hopefully some of the best players in the country, because, you know, I believe that the best players are on the best teams because they make each other better. So in that aspect, I was highly prepared to, you know, deal with the pressures of professional baseball, because I got a chance to play with some of the best players in the country at the College World Series.
What about the experience factor? You won your second title in 2001. How much, I mean, the confidence level going into that particular College World Series, how was it different than the first one?
Well, I think it was definitely different for guys that got a chance to play in 99 and was a part of that whole thing. We had plenty of seniors on our team who remember what it was like to be on the field and win a national championship in 99. So I think although a lot of people were anxious, as many of us athletes are, as you might know, there's always that butterfly in your stomach about how things will go on that day, especially when, you know, whoever wins or plays that better, whoever plays best that day will win. There's definitely some anxiety, but I think Stanford, the team we beat for the national championship in 2001, had a bunch of freshmen and sophomore players, while we had a bunch of senior and junior players who had already been through it. And I think that really helped propel us through that day, and you can see the score was very lopsided, and it all came from one inning of the floodgates opening up, and I think we just we smelled blood and we kept attacking.
Okay, Charlton Jimerson with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Former Astros, Seattle Mariners outfielder and author, has released his new book, Against All Odds, A Success Story. It is at Amazon.com/Against All Odds. You open up about your tumultuous childhood, and as I shared in our previous interview, that when you have a difficult childhood, it doesn't have to be the blueprint for the rest of your life. Tell us about the book and what you share, because it is a story of inspiration.
Thank you. The book is organized in innings as opposed to chapters. It's got 9 innings of my life and my experiences, just like a baseball game. It's structured in a way that, you know, you kind of come out the gates, and a lot of people wonder if I'm going to make it out of the first inning, like a pitcher struggling, you know, to get out the first inning. It talks about, you know, my childhood as a kid, and the things that I experienced as a child with my parents being addicted to drugs and kind of following their, you know, their lead as parents. You know, that's what you do as a kid. You depend on your parents to guide you through and lead you in the right direction and care for you. So the book documents that, and obviously it leads on to some better things based off, you know, me making decisions in my life that were for the better. And I think that's what it's all about, is being able to take control of your life and make some decisions that will benefit you in the future, and dealing with those decisions as a man, as you go, as you get older and get more experience. So, you know, there's a lot of things that happen that were fortunate, but I think at the same time, a proper decision making, putting myself in a good position, as you can see with my education and things like that, put me in a position to be successful.
When you reflect on your illustrious career and just your life, I mean, what is the game of baseball? What has it meant to you?
It allowed me to continue to reach for a goal, continue to compete. It fed my competitive nature as a person. I'm competitive, if it includes the sport or if it doesn't. I love the fact that baseball allowed that competitive platform for me to do that. But at the same time, I've traveled so many places. I've met so many people. I've seen so many things. Mm-hmm. And baseball allowed me to do those things. So I'll always be forever grateful, even in the short stint, as many focus on in the major leagues. But wow, what a great experience to travel the country, travel outside the country internationally, all because of baseball.
And, of course, the book acknowledges your personal relationship with the late and great, the Hall of Famer, Tony Gwynn. Share a little bit about that with our listeners.
Yeah, Tony Gwynn and his family are very special people. I don't think most realize how difficult it is to be the son of a superstar like Tony Gwynn, with Anthony Gwynn Jr. facing those kind of experiences, mm-hmm. and following his father's footsteps while playing the same sport and making it to the major leagues. But just dealing with the superstardom that Tony Gwynn brings, I mean, his brand itself is one that's forever lucrative and profitable. He was the face of Oakley, continued to be that throughout his life. And, you know, coach at San Diego State University, obviously Mr. Padre. And it's just been a joy to be a part of that family. They welcomed me in with open arms. I stayed at their house. You know, I ate their food. We went out there and worked to get better on a daily basis at San Diego State. And I'll always be, you know, grateful and always be a member of, you know, that family as one of those people that they took in.
Okay, Charlton Jimerson, former Astro Seattle Mariners and author of his new book, Against All Odds, A Success Story. Our time is up. It's been so good to have you with us, Charlton. Happy Father's Day weekend to you, and I look forward to catching up with you again on our show. Thank you, Charlton.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. Much more straight ahead tonight as we get into some more MLB. You stay close. Okay, back with you at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell, where, hey, weekends always start early right here at the Big E Sports Show. We've already had a ton of NBA and finals talk tonight. Time for a changeup. We're going to hit on some MLB, specifically the New York Mets, a club that came into the 2015 season with six consecutive losing seasons. But currently, they are first in the NL East Division. They have given the Mets fans a sense of hope. 36-32. They've been rock solid at home. It's such a great story. And we're delighted to have with us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line, author and sports writer Russ Cohen, who teamed up with Adam Rader. They released their new book, Numbers Don't Lie, Behind the Biggest Numbers in Met History. Good evening. It's nice to have you with us, Russ.
Thanks, Alyssa. Nice to talk to you.
Okay, we're going to highlight your book here momentarily, but it's been an intriguing turnaround with the Mets. How have they done it? How has this revival happened and then been able to flip the script?
Yeah, a couple of good trades. You know, the R.A. Dickey trade, they got him Noah Syndergaard. The trade for Beltran got him Wheeler. They made some good moves. You know, Wheeler's getting Tommy John this year. He'll be back next year. You know, Matt Harvey, that was an Omar Minaya draft pick. Luckily, before Omar Minaya left, he drafted some very good players, and a lot of those players, Juan Lagares, was signed as a free agent. There's some Omar guys, there's some free agents, there were some trades, and a lot of good things have happened on the pitching staff, so now you're starting to, you know, see a little bit of a surge.
Do you view them as a serious contender this year?
I think they're a semi-serious contender. There's some things going on now, like Juan Lagares has some problems with his arm, so he's not going to be able to make some of those fantastic throws, and he's not going to get Tommy John surgery. So you kind of hear those things, and you're like, that's a pretty important player, and you never know what's going to happen pitching staff-wise, and they're already a little lean in the infield. They're awaiting David Wright's return. We'll see what he's like after stenosis. Daniel Murphy has to get back in the lineup. There's a lot of ifs.
Okay, we're going one-on-one with Russ Cohen, author of the new book, Numbers Don't Lie, The Biggest Numbers in New York Mets History. And I'm looking forward to a little retrospective on that. But talking about the Mets right now, I mean, multiple contributions and guys that are providing production. But zero in on the pitching. I mean, this is a pitching-oriented team. What have they shown you in terms of this being a dominant pitching staff?
Well, preseason, I really thought Jacob deGrom was going to be their best pitcher, because when you're coming off of Tommy John like Matt Harvey was, it was going to be tough to be terrific every start and not have any peaks and valleys. And so he's going to do that and still have a little bit more. So deGrom has been unbelievable. He's been lights out. I think he's got 7 wins. His ERA is mid-2s. I mean, that's, you look at that and you say, okay, that's one. And then you've got Harvey, who always gives you a great start almost every time out. That's another. I mean, they have a lot of pitchers. Syndergaard now has sort of moved in and taken his spot in the rotation. All of these guys throw mid to upper 90s and for most of the game. And when you're facing, you know, a trio of guys that can do that, that makes it really hard. And then Bartolo Colon is sort of like their off-speed guy, because he's only throwing low 90s. But again, still a wily veteran, still a tough guy to face. You know he's going to throw strikes. That puts a lot of pressure on teams. And when they're scouting the Mets, they have to really look at that and say, all right, you know, this is one of the better pitching staffs in baseball, and how are we going to score runs against them?
Okay, so Russ, you mentioned Bartolo Colon, 42 years old, savvy pitching, and physically perhaps one of the most durable athletes of his generation. I mean, how would you describe his play? I mean, and is he the best athlete in baseball?
Well, he can't be the best athlete in baseball, but he really sort of turned back the clock to a certain degree. And again, the guy just knows how to pitch. There have been plenty of heavy set pitchers that have, you know, survived in Major League Baseball, because not so much because of their really work tendencies, but just basically because they know the position. And he knows the position. He knows exactly what to do, when to do it, how to do it. He doesn't worry about it if a couple runners are on base. He doesn't worry about it if he's got a 3-0 count. These are all things that are really, really important. And the fact that he's had a decision in 26 straight starts, breaking a franchise record, that was a Dwight Gooden record, it just shows you that he's always in games. And even if it's a game like the other night where he gets blown out, hey, but he saves the bullpen. And that's another thing, because as you know, the bullpen is so important. And unfortunately, some of the Mets' bullpen is one of their weaker points. And so, like, that's where if you can get to the 6th, 7th inning every game, that really helps you.
Bartolo Colon, what is the key to his durability? As I said, you know, he's 42.
You know, I don't have the answer for that. I don't, other than when you have prepared for as long as he has for this position and know exactly what it takes, he just knows exactly what to do on and off the field. I don't know his secret workout regimen. I don't. And certainly I don't know what his diet is and don't care. And so I look at it and I say, he's just one of those veterans that, even though he's on the back end of his career, he just knows the game. And so he knows exactly how to do it. He's his own best coach.
Okay, Numbers Don't Lie, The Biggest Numbers in New York Mets History. We are visiting with Russ Cohen, and also he teamed up with Adam Rader on this new book. And I promise we're going to hit on that here in just a moment. But give us, are there any trade rumors going on right now? I mean, is general manager Sandy Alderson, is he likely going to pull off a trade and get some offensive help? Who's available?
You know, likely to pull off a trade, I don't know. I mean, that's, we'd all like to see something. I mean, there's definitely some guys out there. The problem is that, like, if you want a Troy Tulowitzki, you really have to give up a lot, maybe more than the Mets are willing to give up. And so that's a big problem, because I don't think they're willing to take on that kind of salary. We have to look at that and say, when are the Mets really going to step up? Because even Michael Kadire as a free agent signing isn't making huge money.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's part of the issue. I think if they were willing to bite the bullet on some salary, and, you know, who's to say they couldn't get Jose Reyes back if Toronto started to falter? You know, like Brandon Phillips, he'd be a really good fill-in at this point, because he'd be the, I would make him the starting second baseman. I would put Murphy at third. I would worry about when David Wright comes back, because, you know, he's not going to be able to play every day, and then Murphy can move around. Even Phillips can move around a little. He could even play a little short. But that's somebody where, you know, the Reds are out of it. They definitely would trade Brandon Phillips, but would the Mets take on that salary? That's the kind of player the Mets need. They need somebody that can lead off, that can play an infield position, They're not going to do the outfield spot. Everybody wants a corner outfielder, but I don't think they're going to do it.
Okay, so the All-Star break, it is just around the corner. Who's going to make the All-Star game this year with the Mets?
Everybody on the Kansas City Royals.
I know that. They got, what, eight at this point?
Well, yeah, but they did take away a lot of votes that they found out there was some cyber hokey-pokey going on. So they did take away a lot of votes. From the Mets, I would think Familia is a guy you have to look at, and DeGrom. Mm-hmm. If I were going to do it, I'd probably do those two. Harvey's had a heck of a first half, too, but he's had a few hiccups. Really, DeGrom hasn't had any, and Familia's had none.
Okay, our new friend of the show, Russ Cohen, is with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Now we're going to talk about the new book that's just been released, Numbers Don't Lie, The Biggest Numbers in New York Mets History. Tell us about the book.
It's a book that is very number-intensive, like you said. It's got a lot of graphs and charts, and we go into famous numbers in Mets history, some good, some bad. You know, as an example, Tom Seaver's three Cy Youngs. That's the good. 1.2%, that's the amount of Hall of Fame votes, the percentage that Darryl Strawberry got when he had a chance to be in the Hall of Fame. That's bad. You know, we all expected more out of him. So there's a lot of that. There's a number 17 for the amount of errors that Marv Thornberry made at first base with the original Mets. You know, that's in the middle, because we could laugh about that now, and it doesn't seem so bad. You know, there's Tom Glavine's giving up seven runs in a third of an inning. That's bad. So for all the good, there's bad, but it does make you sort of reminisce, and there's always some things that you forget about that you didn't realize that, you know, like Wally Backman had a .989 fielding percentage, and Ray Ordonez only made four errors one season, and
wow.
Felix Meon struck out 14 times in a season. Like, that'll never happen again.
Okay, so throughout the years, the Mets have produced a multitude of great players. Who's your favorite, Russ?
It's Tom Seaver. I grew up a big Tom Seaver fan. I pitched in my early life, and he was just a guy that you could just watch every fifth day, lights out. He basically was throwing heat. The knee was dragging on the ground. The uniform was dirty. He would get hits. Sometimes he'd hit home runs, but he would always dominate the opposition. Even if he didn't have his best stuff, he'd always figure out how to work it out and put his team on the plus side. Never had a ton of run support. He was one of the lower run support pitchers of all time, but always had a lot of wins, those 311 wins. Didn't get them all with the Mets. Wish he would have. You know, the day that he was traded to the Reds, just that date just came up a couple days ago, and it was a really sad day in my house, trust me.
Oh, so many wonderful entries in the new book, Numbers Don't Lie, The Biggest Numbers in New York Mets History, Mets Magic. And it's been a pleasure to have with us for the first time, Russ Cohen, sports writer. Thank you so much, Russ.
Hey, thanks, Alyssa. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Much more MLB talk coming your way right here at your network of choice, YSR. Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Remember to listen to the show on the go. Just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. You can also listen on any computer or smart device by going to streamYSR.com. That's streamYSR.com. And as always, normal data rates apply. So MLB talk, it's going to continue. Time now to catch up with veteran baseball writer who covered the Detroit Tigers for 18 seasons, Danny Nobler. He is the author of his new book, Numbers Don't Lie, talking about the Detroit Tigers. It is a wonderful read that features 50 entries spanning more than 100 years of Tigers magic. He is joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. Good to have you with us, Danny.
Good to be with you, and thank you so much for that very nice introduction.
Oh, well, it's always going to be fun going around the horn. The Detroit Tigers right now, they are third in the AL Central Division, 34-32. What's interesting is the Tigers had an 8-game losing streak from May 28th to June 5th, but they've been able to get back on track, this mini win streak. What's your view of the Tigers and what you've seen so far this season, Danny?
Well, this is an interesting weekend. The Tigers are in New York, and it's not so much interesting because of that, but more because it ends up with, because of the rain out Thursday night, Justin Verlander pitching the Friday night game tonight against the Yankees. But also, just as important to the Tigers, Victor Martinez coming off the disabled list. And during that 8-game losing streak, it wasn't the only reason for the streak, but certainly one thing people talked about was that the Tigers at the time were playing without two of their highest paid and players that were most expected from Verlander in the rotation as kind of a co-ace with David Price, and Victor Martinez in the middle of the lineup, backing up Miguel Cabrera. And Cabrera is having a fantastic year, but having Cabrera with Yoenis Cespedes behind him is different from having Cabrera with Victor Martinez and then Yoenis Cespedes in that middle of the order. The Tigers, with the three of them, if they're all healthy and performing, may have the best middle of the order in baseball. Similarly, at the top of the rotation, if Verlander is anything like he has been at his best, and maybe that's too much to expect, but even if he's a really, really good starter, then you have him and David Price. It's tough to beat those two at the top of a rotation. So they could be potentially getting ready to go on a pretty nice run if those guys are healthy and perform.
Okay, talking about the production of the Detroit Tigers from their pitching staff and the return. Yes, he is back. Justin Verlander, I mean, in your estimation, I mean, how does he look?
Well, so far, not bad. I don't think he's yet at the point where people would say it's the Verlander of old. I don't know if he ever will be at that point. However, I think he can be very, very effective. The Tiger people said that in spring training, before he ended up being sidelined by a biceps issue that ended up taking a lot longer to heal than they expected
right.
it to, mm-hmm. that they said that he really looks strong and feel really encouraged this spring. His velocity's been pretty good since he came back, and even in his couple of rehab starts. But I think it's something that people are really going to be watching for, because we know how good Justin Verlander can be. We know how much of an impact he can make. We know what kind of competitor he is. And I think you're going to see a Justin Verlander who feels like he has something to prove. And I think you're going to get the best of whatever his arm allows him to do. It's still an open question of how much that's going to be.
How do you view his return, though? I mean, is it critical? I mean, because the Tigers needed him just to deal with some of the inconsistency in the rotation?
I think it's very important. I think in a lot of ways the Tigers feel that Victor Martinez's return and the ability to keep him healthy and productive is even more important because of the way the middle of their order looks with him and how it sometimes has looked without him. That they haven't, even though Cabrera has been productive, even though they've gotten some production from some of their other hitters too, they haven't had the consistency offensively that they hope to have. Now, they haven't had it in the rotation either, and they haven't really had it in the bullpen. They're a team that they think they should be doing better. When I was in Detroit a couple weeks ago, Brad Ausmus was asked about the expectations that fans have, and he said fans expect this team to do well, and they should, because it's a good team, and I think that's true. And they have to show that. They certainly have plenty of time to show it. I don't by any means rule them out yet, but I think especially after that 11-2 start, the performance hasn't been good enough yet. And now with Verlander back and with Victor Martinez back, it's the time for them to show they're as good as they say they are.
Veteran baseball writer Danny Nobler is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We would love to hear from you on this Father's Day weekend at E Radio Sports. You can also go to yahoosportsradio.com. We love to give you options as a listener. You can always go back to our podcast, yahoosportsradio.com/podcast, and you can email the show at Alyssa@yahoosportsradio.com. Hey, Danny, how can our listeners connect with you?
Well, they can follow me on Twitter, Danny Nobler, KNOBLER. There's a Danny Nobler author page on Facebook. If they want to get a copy of Numbers Don't Lie, if you're in Michigan, it should be in any bookstore. If you're not in Michigan, you can find it on Amazon, on BarnesandNoble.com, or you can get in touch with me and we can find a way to get you one. I think it's a book that any Tiger fan especially would enjoy, but I think any baseball fan overall.
Absolutely. We're going to get to that here in just a moment. Especially, I mean, if you are a lifelong Detroit Tigers fan, you're going to want to get a copy of this book. But just quickly, talk to us about Miguel Cabrera. I mean, should he be a starter in next month's All-Star game? He's posted those numbers, yeah.
I mean, look, I don't. Of all the Royals who have been voted to the top, I think Eric Hosmer is one who it's harder to have a question with, just at least in terms of what he's done. But when you look at what Miguel Cabrera is, it's hard to think of an All-Star game without a Miguel Cabrera.
Right.
Now, he's
almost
certainly going to be there anyway. But you're talking about one of the greatest players one of the greatest hitters in baseball all time, not just today. You look at the things Miguel Cabrera has been able to do in his career and what he's already done this year. He's terribly impressive. And I think if you ask any manager in the game about facing the Tigers, they look at Miguel Cabrera the same way that managers have always looked at the best hitters in the history of the game. No matter what position you're in the game, you're always aware of how soon Miguel Cabrera is coming up in that Tiger order. Whether you're going to be able to get through the rest of the game without getting to his spot in the order. And that's really what it means to be an absolute top-level hitter.
Are the Tigers, do they have to campaign for Cabrera to get that All-Star vote?
You know what? It's funny. They do campaign for him. Uh-huh. Maybe they shouldn't have to, but that's the way the All-Star voting goes. Teams have to campaign for everybody. And the Angels have to campaign for Mike Trout. Maybe that what they've done on the field should speak for itself, but that's just the way it is. I know they are campaigning for him, not just the front office, but also the other Tiger players. And Cabrera campaigns for himself every time he steps up to the plate.
Okay, you're listening to the voice of Danny Nobler, the author of his new book, Numbers Don't Lie, The Biggest Numbers in Detroit Tigers History. And as I said, if you're a lifelong Detroit Tigers fan, you definitely want to have a copy of this book. Perfect gift for Father's Day. Tell us about it.
You know, the idea was not to make it a heavy numbers book. I tell people there's no math required. We do use a lot of numbers, but what we do is we use numbers, many of them you're familiar with. I think everybody who's followed baseball knows 35-5 that the Tigers did at the start of the 84 season. A lot of people, because it comes up so often, know about Denny McClain's 31 wins. What we try to do is we take numbers like that and numbers that you probably don't know as well and use them to help tell the stories of the best players, the best teams, and even some of the worst teams and worst players in Tigers history. And it's meant to be an easy read. It's meant to be a book that you can pick up, put down, and then pick up again. It's meant to be a book that you'll be reminded of some things that maybe you knew about before, and also will tell you a few things that you're going to say, boy, I didn't know that. I'm going to tell my friends about that.
And a lot of highlights. Willie Horton's 36 home runs in 1968, and the foreword is written by Jim Price, former Tigers catcher and longtime commentator for the Detroit Tigers Radio Network. We've been going one-on-one with Danny Nobler, veteran baseball writer. You can also check him out. He's a columnist with the Bleacher Report. Thank you so much, Danny. A pleasure to have you on and a new friend of our show. I hope you had a good time.
Oh, I did. Hey, very good talking to you. Let's do it again sometime.
That, of course, was Danny Nobler, author of his new book, Numbers Don't Lie, Detroit Tigers. And also, we need to take time to thank all of our amazing guests and our lineup. Our very own producer, Joe George, Andy Pondillo with his weekly MLB news and notes, Russ Cohen, author of the new book, New York Mets, Numbers Don't Lie. And we also want to say a very special thank you to Charlton Jimerson, former Astros and Seattle Mariners, and go out and get a copy of his new book, Against All Odds, A Success Story. And our first-time guest, Rick Bucher from the Bleacher Report and NBA Sirius XM Radio. Happy Father's Day to all of you out there, and always join us each and every Friday night for the biggest, the best in sports right here at Yahoo Sports Radio and YahooSportsRadio.com.